I'm good. Hello. So can I speak?
Yes.
Can you hear?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yes, I also would like to open my testimony with prayer, because in our life, prayers will never be enough. Apostle Paul says we should pray seasonally, like constantly, never giving up. And that's why I would like to encourage you just to come before Jesus Christ and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you, God, and I give thanks to you that you changed my life from death to life. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for those who will be listening this wonderful story which comes from you, God. Open their spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and spiritual hearts to feel. Not only what I say, God, but that they can feel your presence, God. I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. I usually like to start stories and preachings with questions. Questions are wonderful. And first question is, do you believe that the gospel has a power? Wonderful power. Do you believe? If you believe, raise your hands. Awesome. This is the same gospel that changed my life. And I would like to encourage you that you would open Psalm 27, verses 10. I have kind of like accent, but hopefully you will understand. Psalm 27, verses 10. So, everyone's is in that stage. Okay, I will read. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. A second passage I would like to read, Romans chapter 1:16-17. This is the key verse which shows that the power, that the gospel has a power. Romans chapter 1, this is my name actually. And here we are. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And the third passage I would like that you would open is Matthew chapter 19, from 23:26-26. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you believe that for God everything is possible? Do you believe? If you believe, raise your hands. It's awesome. That's really cool. Next question I have, and now I'm going to tell my testimony how God changed my life. And first question is, how many of you have parents? How many of you have parents? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Is there anybody who doesn't have parents? Raise your hands. Wow. Wonderful. And this question, I would like that you would nail down. Do you honor your parents? Do you honor your parents? Do you honor? If you honor, please raise your hands. That was a tricky question. Okay. My parents abandoned me when in the hospital right after when I was born. During my childhood and adolescence, I lived in different type of orphanage. Living in orphanages and boarding schools, this is second place after jail. You have to fight for yourself. You cannot give up. If you give up, you will be lost. You will be addicted with drugs, sex, porno, everything. You will be addicted. Orphanages and boarding schools, where there is no such love and passion, compassion, is the place of jail. I can tell you that is true. Orphanages and boarding schools. All my childhood and adolescence, I felt lonely, rejected by the people who were working in my life as a teacher. As I did not have parents, my childhood and teenager years became miserable. They were miserable. As I grew up, I started to ask myself the question, why don't I have parents, brothers and sisters? I have a question. Can you imagine right now you have parents being cut off from your parents? No roots, no similarities, no anything. Can you imagine that you can cut off yourself from your parents and tell, I do not know my parents. I do not know who are my siblings. Can you imagine that? You cannot imagine that. You cannot imagine being cut off from family. And that's why I was asking the question, do you honor your parents? Do you give thanks to God for your parents who did everything so that you would be here, so that you would get education, so that you would be fed, and you would grow, and you would have not only relationship with your parents, but would have relationships also with your friends? That's why I was asking this question. Do you honor your parents? Do you give thanks to God for your parents? Do you give hug to your parents? That's why I was asking this question. If I would have parents, I would give them hugs. I would give them a bunch of hugs. I would kiss them. But it didn't happen in that time when I was growing up. Many times I tried to look for someone who would love or adopt me as their child. I was looking for someone who would become as a sibling, but I didn't find. The dreams of being loved by someone didn't come true. I remember that I was sitting in corner. I really I will tell you something interesting. When I go in family, do you know what most attract me? Pictures. The pictures of family. I can look and look and look because this is something new for me. I always have been amazed how God has created family, husband and wife. There is healthy activities and there comes children in the world. And every time when I look at the pictures, I give thanks to God for this wonderful idea as a family. Wouldn't you agree with that? Can you imagine how wonderful is our God? How beautiful, how powerful and smart is our God? This silent, desperate crying for loving parents made me day after day disrespectful, disgrace, and fearless. The teachers of that orphanage felt ashamed if someone of the orphan called them as their parents. I remember as a small boy, I run to the one teacher. I say, could you be my mom? And she was like, your mom? No, I can't be your mom. And I was asking one more time, could you be my mom? No, you cannot be my son because you're orphan. You cannot be. And please do not call me as mom. In that day, when that teacher told me, you cannot call me as mom, killed me the word mom. I was ashamed to call someone as mom. I was so ashamed that I couldn't whisper, couldn't take the words over my lips to say for some people who would like for me, being as a son, I was ashamed. I despised this word. And I was laughing. It's a kind of like stupid word, calling somebody as a mom or dad. This is really stupid. That's what I thought. Because the word, when I tried to call somebody as a mom, they just killed me, that feeling. Killed me. And I couldn't call someone who would have that position as mom or dad. I couldn't call. For me, it was really painful. For me, it was shameful. That was crazy. The teachers who worked at the orphanage, they believed that their work mainly is just keeping us from troubles. Yes, I was troublemaker. I don't know how would you call, like in a 5 seconds, if the teacher, for example, turning this side, I already made something crazy. That's why when I was in orphanage, they always put me front of them so that they would see me. But any time when I found myself without teacher, I got a great idea and I should disappear. And I did that. I remember we were walking. We took the walk in the forest. And I made decision that I will jump in one ditch because I want to go back. I want to just discover this huge, huge orphanage, like 400 and 500 orphans in that orphanage. And I have been only in the small place. And I was waiting that day that I could discover. And of course, that day came. And the teacher somehow forgot about that. And we took the walk in the forest, and I found a big ditch, and I jump in it, and I was waiting when they will disappear. I jump out from the ditch, and I run away back to the orphanage. And I discover all the orphanage. They call policemen, firemen, ambulance, everyone. And they call and they organize all these things together. They say, you should bring all these orphans back to orphanage because romance is gone. And of course, when the teacher brought all these orphans back to the place where I needed to stay, by that time I discovered all the orphanage. I searched and I satisfied my curiosity. Yeah, and I sat back and I was waiting for them. And the teacher came, Romans? How did you disappear? And why did you disappear? I say, because I want to discover something. All the time I have to sit in a small place, I cannot. It drives me crazy. And I was troublemaker till day when Jesus Christ changed my life. They believed if the orphans have no parents, then they are worthless. Have you ever heard from your parents that parents would call you as a worthless person? Never ever. Parents always take care of you. They want to see the best in your lives. That's why I was asking the question, do you honor your parents? They are, the teachers and the other people like adults, they believed that orphans are mentally sick and probably will end their lives either in prison or mental house, mental institution. And that is true. Many of those orphans whom I knew, they are in prison. They are in prison. And they end their lives, whether in prison or mental institution. You know, when I say mental institution or mental hospital, they're there, they end their lives. And many of them have committed suicides. That's why, when you argue with parents, always think that there are dark corners in the world where live many, many orphans without parents. And they have the desire having parents, having family, being part of family. Always think about that. You are not the only one. There are someone who is crying for help, crying that somebody would accept, would love them. Always think about, especially when you argue with your parents. Think about that. Because for orphans, they always will appreciate parents, whether they are biological parents or accepted parents. They will always appreciate that. Such teachers' attitude and their actions made me feel guilty that I was born to my parents. I blamed myself for being born to my mother, that I have made pain to her. The false shame and guilt emptied my childhood. I did not have anything else except pain, tears, and teachers' abusive punishment for doing wrong. As I entered in my teenager years, my life didn't get easy either. Different boarding schools experience suicide commitments and fights with other peers or groupmates. At the age of 11, they sent me to the first boarding school where I was learning a new lifestyle. I was learning how to stand against the teachers and the others, hating them because of their negative attitude toward me. There I started to realize my disrespectful, disgraced, and fearless character. For these teachers, I was like a nightmare. They tried to apply different educational and bringing up methods to help me become better, but they failed. And do you know why they failed? They failed because they didn't love me. They didn't love me, and that's why they failed. The reason of their unsuccessful bringing up was because they practiced these methods were without love. The more they tried, the worse it got. For that reason, the teacher did not want to be involved in my personal development. They told me that I will never become a better man. In the worst case, I will end my life in prison. And I remember I really hated teachers. I am teacher. Yes, my diploma calls me as a teacher. Yes, I'm teacher, but I hated teachers. And the reason why I hated them, because of their disrespectful attitude. I remember the one day we sat in the classroom and the day before I went to the library. I put the big, heavy encyclopedia and just found randomly words. And I just read that word. I memorized that word. And I said, tomorrow I'm going to ask that teacher. I want to just check, how smart is she? And of course, the next day, The next day, the teacher was walking in a class, checking that we are not cheating on our tests, kind of like, and the other things. And I raised my hand, and the teacher said, "Yes, Romans, what's up?" I say, "I have a question. Do you know what does mean this word?" And I made her angry. And he said, "Romans, do you think that I am encyclopedia?" I say, "No, you act that you are smart." And she didn't understand. And after that, I stood up, and in a loud voice, I said to that teacher, "You are stupid. You do not understand anything. Some kids could be smarter than you." And I sat in front of my classmates. And the classmates, they start to laugh. The teacher become angry with red face and ashamed. I say, "This is the reason why you are here, because you are stupid. You are bringing up stupid kids, and you will become stupid." That's what I said. And I made that teacher really mad. And since that day, that teacher told me, she never argued with me, never ever, because I always had questions to ask, and questions were pretty tricky. And my reason was just a payback, you know, this angriness, this madness, it's just a payback. I would like to pay back as much as I can, pay, make them mad, till they will die in that boarding school, and that's it. Sorry about that. Of course, that was the one thing. Whoa. And the other thing was that these teachers' attitudes, my badly childhood experience and spiritual emptiness made me, did I say right? Aggressive, yeah. And fearless toward the teachers and to those who were stronger than me. I was involved in many fights with my schoolmates and some of my classmates. And that's what's crazy. When your heart is empty, you're looking for something that could fill your emptiness, like really deep. I was reading all these movie stars, those big ones, and these ones. Yes, I did studies on all these movie stars, and I start to learn their lifestyle from the movies, how to defend myself, and in a last case, just in case if somebody will attack me, I'm gonna kill. Can you imagine? Yeah, kill. I was to the point where my angriness, my this fearless attitude, I was to that point where I was ready to kill somebody. And I remember as we were in a boarding school, we sat around this circle, big circle table, and I was the weakest one, because the bigger boys, they were laughing at me, and they call me white death, because my skin is white, and you look like death, and there is nothing in you, and of course, this kind of like, I was able kind of like handle that situation. But the stronger boy, as remember, that's crazy. He said, "Since you're the weakest one in our group, you're gonna do our dish grow. Because you are nothing. And you know, sometimes you can be weak, but if you have angriness inside in you, wow, the power what is inside, and you have stored that power for quite well, for quite time, when it comes out, you can surprise those stronger boys." You can surprise them. And I did. And he was like standing up. He said, Didn't you understand? You are going to do rest of the summer dish grow." And I pull out my twist and I punch his face so badly that he flipped over his bench and he hit his head and he was bleeding. And I came, I say, "If you're gonna touch me one more time, I'm gonna smash your nose. I'm gonna smash your face. I'm gonna make you blind. Did you understand me?" But I was like angry and I said, "Did you understand me? If you're gonna touch me one more time, I'm gonna make you creepy. No matter what." And the teacher running, "La la 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 la, Romans, what are you doing? La 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 la, I said, shut up. He was making me mad. He aggravate me. And you're gonna defend him. Shut up and just leave me alone. La 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 la. Like, you know, like the teacher's woman's emotional. La 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 la. I said, shut up. I don't care. If he's gonna touch me one more time, I'm gonna beat him to death. And I run out. And the second time, I remember from the board that I needed to move some heavy stuff from the one storage room to the other. And there was one cool guy, nice hairstyle and looking nice and pretending that he's quite strong. And I remember I was bringing something heavy stuff and I pushed his classmate. And of course, the classmate just fell from the upstairs and almost hit his teeth. Like, I didn't care about that. My purpose was just to bring the stuffs because that was too heavy. Big responsibility bringing heavy stuffs to the kitchen. And of course, and that guy, cool looking, nice, big muscles, handsome, attracting girls. And you know, guys, you know how you attract girls and how you do all these stuffs, you know. And he came, how dare you that you push my classmate? I say, you better shut up. How dare you? And he, you know, and he grabbed me and pulled at the wall and I punched his face and I pulled him back and he was already on the stairs and I, with all my heart, I kicked him so hard that he couldn't stand up. And of course, they just, I said, and I didn't care. You know, the angriness, what is inside in you, you can kill somebody. You can kill. And I was so deep in my desperate needs for recognition, for acceptance, that I tried to do everything, not only to defend myself, but to prove who I am. And that's why in the boarding school, I was lonely. Nobody wanted to be my friend. Nobody. I didn't have friends. I didn't have friends, and I was lonely. And I try to look for something good in my life. The more I look, the worse it got. That was true. That was painful, depressed times in my life. And I tried to identify myself with those happy movie stars from Hollywood because they never fail. They always win. You know those stories from the movies, yeah? And I say, I want to be like them. Because they have happy lives. They always movies end with happiness, whether they kill or not, but end with happiness. I wanted that life. And I tried to associate, I tried to study, I read all these movie stars' biographies and just wanted to become super cool, super cool. And this is not because, that you are something. This is because the emptiness. This emptiness, it pulls your heart, pulls your soul, and makes this inside wider and more desperate, like without hope. And the more I tried to associate with those movie stars, with those singers and everything, the worse it got. Oh, I was like, whew, crazy. And I was like, really? And I thought, no, it doesn't give me what I was looking for. It doesn't give me what I was looking for. And the more I tried was the one thing what I want to say is that the reason of this verbal and physical fights was because I tried to prove myself that I am something. I believed that any time when I stand against the evil doers, I can become a better person. Beating somebody, fighting, being involved in the fights, I believed that makes me better. Can you imagine? Fighting, arguing, makes me better, but it's not an all. The second reason of my fights was because in my head was stuck the teacher's disdain that I am nothing, that I cannot do anything. I will never be able to become a good person. Day after day, this spiritual emptiness, inferiority, complexes made me crazy and angry. Every morning, after waking up, I felt more lonely, depressed, and unwanted. I thought that one of these days, the statement of the teachers will become true. I will indeed and my life in mental institution or jail. Every day I was struggling with my identity to become a good man. I was looking for heroes who would become as a good examples to my life. And I told you about those movie stars. These things made me feel a little bit better. Watching them trying to look for the meaning of their life that would fix my life problems, such as spiritual emptiness, impurity, complexes, angriness, and the other bad behavior habits. The more I tried to fill my emptiness, the bigger it became. Nothing worked out. Not crying, imitating movie stars or singers, being angry or disrespectful. Since I did not receive the resolution to my life problems, I started to think about committing suicide. I tried to commit suicide 5 times. But every time when I tried, there was someone who did not let it happen. I did not know that that was God who was standing behind this entire scene. And I would like to tell you about the last suicide. The first 4 suicides I tried to commit and it didn't work. But the last one was, since I failed in the 4 suicides, I thought that I have to make the plan, how I will make the suicide. I took the white paper and I just checked my room and I draw the plan. First of all, I have to lock the doors. I have to prepare the place for suicide. I got it rope. I hanging in those so nails in the concrete walls, and I hanged this rope in it. I prepared a small bench, and before those suicides, I just invited my friends and I say, "You can have everything what I have," because for the suicide doers, if they have committed this action, you know, they wanna leave. They wanna give everything away so that there is no distractions of just committing suicide. And I did. I just gave everything so that my room would be empty and I can put my head in that rope and just end my life. But I will tell you, when I put my head in that rope, invisible hand pulled me from that suicide place so powerfully that I thought that somebody is in the room, and I was looking who did that. I didn't tell anybody about my commitments. What the heck? Who did know that I'm going to commit suicide? And you know, I didn't know that that was God. That was God. And if this room there are somebody who are struggling with suicide, remember, suicide is not from God. The only one who wants to take away your life is devil. Remember that. If you ever thought that you want to die, it's not coming. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. You should remember, because devil is the one who wants to steal our lives. When I entered in my I did not know that God has a great plan for my life. I did not know that the Christian family who came to the boarding school and took me to their home was the family from God. Like in Latvia, there are some Christian families, they know that they are a bunch of orphanage, and they just want to make those orphans' lives a little bit easy. And they just come and check, and the teachers randomly, especially they want to give away those troublemakers. And praise God that I was a troublemaker, so that my life wouldn't end in that way, as I told you early, that in jail or in mental institution. And the interesting fact was, when I entered in this family, I was shocked of their godly lifestyle. I told them that they are stupid, believing in such a God who made my life miserable. I did everything to make their lives miserable. But they didn't give up. Can you imagine any time when the parent, I try to involve myself in troubles, because for them this is big responsibility. If they take orphan and something happens with that orphan, they have to go in jail. And the reason was, God, I want a revenge for what you have done in my life. You took my parents. You took my siblings. You made my life miserable, lonely, depressed. And for that, I'm going to revenge. And I'm going to make your children's life miserable because of you. And of course, I did. And do you know what they did? They didn't give up. Every morning before I woke up, they were praying for me. Every night when I went to sleep and while I was deep in my dreams, they were praying. And it happened all the summer. They were praying for me. And I didn't know that. And the other thing, since I like to read books, they didn't have anything else except Christian magazines, Christian books, and Bible. I like read books, and I like to read books. And the other thing is, I start to read all these Christian literature magazines and books, and the Bible. God, through this literature, was leading me toward His Word. When I opened His Word, there was something that gave me wonderful hope. I remember I opened Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus Christ invites the people who are like really heavy, and you know, the ones who are mourning, and you know, and I remember, and I read this sermon on the mount. I read it, and do you know what's happened? When I start to read the Word of God, whether you believe or not, my life was changed dramatically from black to white. I understood that Jesus Christ has suffered for my sin even before I was born. Through the Word of God, I finally found the meaning of life, and it was Jesus Christ. I understood that I do not need to prove myself because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ already did. He died on the cross for my sin. He died on the cross for my emptiness. He died on the cross for my depression, for my bad attitude. He died for everything what was evil in me and the evilness from the others. He died. When I, for my sin, He died for my miserable, empty life. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it totally changed my life. My behavior and habits were changed totally. If there is black, and there is white, totally. And I will tell you, when that was like first time when I read the Word of God, and you know, I felt how the heaven came up on me. I was like flying. I felt so good because I knew that Jesus Christ already died. Jesus Christ has gone through the sufferings. And really, I was flying. I was flying and being like in euphoria for 6 months. When I went back to that boarding school, when the teacher saw my behavior totally changed, my habits totally changed, they were asking, "Romans, what did this family do to you?" I said, "What do you mean by that? You're completely different. Are you sick?" And you know, that made me mad. I say, "Again, you don't like something. When I was bad, you wish I could be good guy. And now, when Jesus Christ has changed my life, again, you don't like something. If you don't like something, I would highly recommend to you, go and see Jesus Christ." Go and see Jesus Christ. Teachers told me that I will never graduate university. I will never become something. By God's grace, I graduate university in Latvia. And this is only for one reason, as a testimony for the teachers who told me that I will never be able to graduate university. I will never be able to do something. I will never be able to study because of that status what I had, the orphan status. And the only one reason why I did graduate university because I wanted to share them testimony, what Jesus Christ can do. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, Jesus Christ told me, Romans, I want to show them who I am. You will be my witness. You will be my witness. And I did that. When I put in the Facebook and the other home pages, these pictures of graduating university, the teachers were asking, how did you make it? And as I said, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And the teachers didn't believe. They don't believe still. I believe that God can use my miserable childhood and empty teenager age for His glory. If you want that God use your life, you have to become empty. You have to lay down all idols. You have to lay down all your physical flesh heroes. And only then Jesus Christ can use your life. And nothing else is better in this life than bring God's glory. And I remember I was already Christian. There was some people who told me that I will never be able to learn English language. And I studied English language only for one reason, to testify who is our God, who God is. And last year, I went back to that boarding school, and I gave my testimony how Jesus Christ changed my life. Some of those teachers, when they saw me, they were shocked. Like, literally, they were shocked. When they saw me, they quickly ran away. And I thought I didn't come to scare them. I just wanted to tell them, thank you. And I just wanted to tell them what Jesus Christ has done in my life. But they were so scared seeing me totally changed. They couldn't believe. When they saw me, some of those teachers, they lost their natural color of their face. Really. And they run away. And that's why I want to encourage you. For those who who are already believers, ask God what I can do to bring your glory. For those who has never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would like to challenge you. Come before the throne of grace as you are, with your miserable spirit, with your depression, with your angriness, madness. Come before Jesus Christ, and He can change your lives. And the other thing, I have some challenges for you. And again, I want to ask a question after that. There will be challenges. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can change your life? Do you believe? Do you believe that God has a great plan for your life? And there I would like to ask, raise your hands if you believe that God has a great plan for your life. Raise your hands. Do you believe? Tell me, what can be better than just to be in the middle of God's will? You will never waste your life if you will be midst of God's will. Never, ever. Because it stands for eternity. Do you believe that you can use your life to bring God's glory? I believe that you believe. Raise your hands. I would like to see. This is just encouragement. Do you believe that God can use your life to bring God's glory? And there is some challenges. The world will say, I will need you only if you are successful. But the world will kick you out when you will have nothing. Remember, you are not too young, too weak, too inexperienced, or too busy to be used by God. Jeremiah chapter 1 from 8, from 4 till 8. I would like that you would open, that you would nail down this passage. And there is no any excuses before God. God, I was so busy and I couldn't serve you. I couldn't bring your glory. No, because God knows what is inside in your heart. And I would like to encourage you, open Jeremiah chapter 1. I will start to read from 4 till 8. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. So this passage talks, you are not too young, you are not too weak, and you are not too busy not to be used by God. Please, never ever say that. Because God knows what's going on in your life. And I would like to challenge you. And the last final thing what I would like to do, how many of you have cell phones? Please, take out your cell phones. Really, really. Please, I would like to do. Only students, not the parents. You have cell phones. My encouragement for you would be, how about if you text your parents and say them how much you love them? If there in this room is somebody who has argued with parents, ask forgiveness. I would like to challenge you for you to do. Please text the message to your parents and say them how much you love. Because there are many dark corners in the world. There are many orphans who would appreciate, and they would like having your parents. They would like having your parents. And always give thanks to God for your parents. And because honoring parents, this is God's command. And you cannot tell God, I didn't know that. God already puts in our hearts that we should honor your parents. And always give thanks to God for your parents, no matter what. They, whatever they mean the best for you. Thank you.